My name is Rashi Agarwal. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry at Rutgers New Jersey Medical School. I'm a training director and a consult liaison psychiatrist. And today we will be talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. Post-traumatic stress disorder, as the name indicates, is a psychiatric syndrome that develops in people who have experienced or witnessed a traumatic event. And what happens is that not everybody who's had a traumatic experience develops PTSD, but some cohort of people who have experienced this event develop a syndrome which basically comprises of intense, disturbing thoughts and emotions related to the experience. And it's usually longer lasting right after the event has occurred. They might have flashbacks, sadness, anger, and associated symptoms. The symptom category, because, you know, it is a clinical syndrome, so the diagnosis is made on the basis of the symptoms or the category of symptoms a patient has. And usually in PTSD, you want to think about four categories. First is intrusive intrusion, which includes things like repeated involuntary memories, distressing dreams, flashbacks. And the second category is avoidance of the event, basically, anything that reminds the patient of the event itself, the people or the places. So they will go really far out of their way to avoid anything that triggers those memories. The third category is negative thoughts and feelings, which sort of includes things like I am bad, everybody's bad, nobody can be trusted, fear, horror, anger, guilt, or shame. And the last one is arousal or reactive symptoms, which include things like being irritable, having angry outbursts, behaving recklessly, or just, you know, the common movie kind of conceptions, which is somebody so easily startled that they hit out or things like that. Common symptoms that may be less recognized are really the avoidance, because most physicians are sort of aware of the others. Avoidance symptoms you only elicit if you specifically ask about it. So those are the common category of symptoms, I think, that are most commonly missed by primary care providers. Some of the common misconceptions that PTSD is associated with in general public, but probably also in other physicians. First is that because PTSD is associated with a large number of our soldiers or people who are exposed to war, many people feel that that's the only cohort of patients who get PTSD. Unfortunately, that's not true. In fact, women are more predisposed. They are twice likely than men to have PTSD. And the kind of other, any stressful event can basically cause PTSD. And for women, commonly, it's things like childhood sexual abuse or sexual assault. For both men and women, other kinds of triggers are accidents, physical assault, natural disaster. So it's not just the soldiers. The other common misconception is that, you know, we are always on the lookout. If a major tragedy occurs, we sort of look for PTSD right after it. So a common misconception is that if you're fine, you don't develop symptoms right after an acute stressor, you don't have PTSD. So unfortunately, PTSD can be delayed or start after a few months after the event. So that's another common misconception. And the last common misconception that I feel is, which is sort of shared with other psychiatric disorders, which is that PTSD, because, you know, not every person who's exposed to the same trauma develops PTSD, which automatically means that those people who develop PTSD have like a character flaw, or if they were just stronger, they could just get over it. And this is a misconception that's shared for sometimes things like depression and anxiety too. And there is clear science behind PTSD. There are predispositions that lead to PTSD. And patients who have PTSD have clear-cut neuroscience-based markers. So it is an actual biological illness. So those are some of the common issues that I have noticed in diagnosing and some myths about PTSD. So the other question I think that is commonly asked is, what is survivor's guilt and what is the relationship with PTSD? Survivor's guilt is really a simple phenomenon of, if more than one person was involved in a trauma and your loved one or a friend did not survive the trauma, but you did, then the survivor is left with this feeling of, maybe I was responsible, maybe I could have done something to prevent this. And that rumination, that guilt can exacerbate the symptoms. And the thing that's really effective in those cases is really validating the patient's experience and CBT. Let's talk a little bit about what can primary care providers do. You know, for a lot of psychiatric disorders, sometimes for primary care providers, it can be a little bit overwhelming because, you know, you are seeing a complex patient in a short amount of time. and you might not feel comfortable, as in, you know, all of us get that imposter syndrome where we feel like we don't know what we are doing. Simple thing with PTSD really is there is a questionnaire that can be given to patients while they are waiting for your appointment. It's called Primary Care PTSD Screen. It's only 4 questions. So if you start out by a question that says, you know, sometimes things happen to people that are unusually, especially frightening, did something like that happen to you, yes or no? And then the screening starts, which is simple questions like, have you had nightmares or thought about this event when you did not want to? Do you try hard not to think about it or went out of your way to avoid situations that reminded you of it? Were you constantly on guard, watchful, or easily startled? Felt numb or detached from other activities? And this is a scale that the patient can fill while waiting for the appointment with you. So that sort of takes the stress of screening. And if they screen positive, then you can find out if it's affecting their life in any impactful way. So if it's not really in fact affecting their life, then it's, you don't necessarily need to treat. But if it is affecting your life, then you do need to treat. And before I talk about treatment of PTSD, let's talk a little bit about what primary care providers can do. So for patients with PTSD, there are common medical problems like cardiovascular disease, hypertension, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, dementia, and, you know, frequent hospitalization. So if you just looked out for those and made sure those are addressed, you're already ahead of the game. Then there's associated symptoms like sleep, difficulty functioning at school, work, or home, anger problems, comorbid substance use, or pain. So again, those are the kind of things physicians can easily address or refer for. Then last but not the least is that there are effective treatments of PTSD, and some of them are simple medications that most primary care providers are comfortable prescribing, which are SSRIs and SNRIs that you use commonly for depression and anxiety. And not to forget that these patients do have comorbid depression and anxiety. So if you're just even treating that, you're really helping patients go a long way. The second thing is normalizing their experiences, helping them understand that this is a disorder. It's not just something they have to struggle with and they can get treated. So these are two very important things that all primary care providers do. There's also clinician-supported apps that are well-done apps. So the one app that I saw that's free and is actually good is PTSD Coach, and I just downloaded it to make sure that it works. It does. So you could also just let your patients know that it can help the patients themselves learn about PTSD and manage symptoms. In addition to medication, the biggest class of psychotherapy that works for PTSD is cognitive behavior therapies. And within that, there is other therapies like cognitive processing therapy, prolonged exposure therapy, and stress inoculation therapy. In addition, there is group psychotherapy that can be very helpful. So without going in details about psychotherapy, it's really the goal here is to sort of focus on modifying painful negative emotions and beliefs that come secondary to the trauma. So it really just helps the patient's process, and they're very effective for PTSD treatment. The first line is always you can try the medications, but if they don't improve or respond, sending them for psychotherapy referral is really useful. One common misconception about medications is that benzodiazepines are useful. So I would strongly recommend against using a benzodiazepine for a patient with PTSD. Try the SSRIs and SNRIs first. That doesn't work and you want to try other medications, other kind of medications that you can use. The most proven one is prazosin, which is vinipraz, which you use normally for blood pressure, and it's used at bedtime for nightmares. But if you still need some other ones, the other medications that can be used are clonidine or mood stabilizers like carmazepine, gabapentin, Lamictal, or anti-anxiety agents like Buspar, Benadryl, Ambien. So the key takeaway, I would say, is that PTSD is pretty prevalent, especially if you work in some of our communities like NOARC. There is very high prevalence. So you will have to ask for trauma or at least administer the scale to diagnose it. It is frequently misdiagnosed as anxiety or depression just because that's something you will be able to elicit more easily normally. It's very easy to screen. The screening doesn't take more than a minute if you use the screening questionnaire, and that there are effective treatment strategies that are available. Thank you.